August 27th, 2019, month-end meeting at 6:30 and regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Ready?
All right. I'd like to welcome everyone to the end-of-month audit meeting for August 27th, 2019. And that's
roll call. Councilman Hogan?
Here.
Councilman Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilwoman LeClaire, she's not down there.
She will not be attending.
Okay. Councilman Noonan?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here.
What does the need three signatures?
Yeah, they got to go off. I need three signatures.
Okay, the first voucher we have to discuss. Is the voucher requesting a refund for basketball camp. Our policy currently allows for refunds if the camp is canceled. This individual is requesting a refund of the second week of basketball camp due to unexpected vacation plans. And would like a reimbursement of 50% for 1 to 2 weeks. That would be $40. We don't have policy on it. I'm not sure what the board is going to
do. Are we still above plus on that for that week?
Yeah.
I mean, with refunds or?
Yes.
So if we don't have policy on it, I would say we should probably give it back, but that's got to be part of the charter of our new director of recreation, that this policy is printed and clear, because these, how many more of these are we going to get if this one goes through? You know, it's kind of, probably not a lot, but I would hate to see it become pretty slow and then we start giving them away.
You know, we've, for extenuating circumstances such as injury or sickness, you know, we have at the board's discretion for that to be funded. I'm not aware that we've ever done that before because somebody changed their location.
Only if it's canceled or there's a sickness.
Okay, so that's what the policy is.
So there's a policy that defines it? That
says no, I don't think we have a policy per se.
Okay.
If it's canceled, there's no way we can't refund it.
Yeah.
If they're sick, we usually bring it in front of the board if it gets approved.
So I'd be supportive of refunding by clarifying the policy on the floor.
Okay.
John, you'll give it? I am, but I would have eaten it myself.
As would I, but I feel like that's one of those. Do we
want to
then argue?
You know, it's kind of like if you make a plan, and then if you change your plan, oh well, you know, you.
So far, well, the coaches and staff are going to be there whether they're there or not.
You're right.
The program.
Yep.
All right. So then I'll need a motion to refund the grant skip of 24 Gray Avenue, Greenwich, New York, $40. So
second.
All in favor? Anyone opposed? Passes.
You know, I am opposed to it. I don't think it's right. I think the poor planning on his part shouldn't bear onto us. But with that said, I'm.
Well, I guess I didn't realize my feelings have changed. I thought it was kind of harassing. Is it a town of resident, or is someone who's just part time here and not? Like, we still don't know the details. It could be a child who does live with mom in one town, and dad wrote the check from another town or something like that. So I think it's not clear. I'd rather not hold it back at this point in time, but I think going forward, we really need to clarify that policy. I guess I'd still be in favor, but hesitant, but. I don't have any reason to hold back at this point.
Okay, so the measure's approved on 3-1. Councilmember Hogan is recording the
Correct.
Next item is a bill from Lewis and Greer. We have a bill for $536.50. Need approval from the board authorizing payment to the firm.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Next item I have for discussion is a voucher for Stark Northeast Oil Corporation, Scranton, New York. We received the voucher with a photocopy signature on it. We don't have a policy for accepting photocopy signatures, so if the board is inclined to pay it, I'll need authority to sign the voucher.
Motion to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
No.
4-0. Approved. All right. Next one's a little interesting. Crystal Rock. So we have been informed that there's going to be a price increase depending on where our distributor purchases water supplying the town for drinking fountains. And the price from one supplier effective for the August billing is going to increase from $4 to
It is a Crystal Rock.
Yes, and increased from $4.
It's DS. It's DS. So it is. Yeah, it is Crystal Rock, and it is one just one supplier.
Okay. So if you look at the bill, it's $4 when we get it from Vermont and Crystal Rock.
That bill is for will be paid next month. It will be paid in September.
So Rudy's going to be working with them basically to say,
this is the same vendor delivering it.
Yes.
Crystal Rock.
Yes. Yep.
But it comes under the Crystal Rock label.
I don't know why they even put that on there, quite frankly. It says Vermont Water. I didn't know they even handled it.
In the past, when we've raised this issue, Rudy has gotten them to acquiesce.
Yeah. Keep it at four. But
we're
not in the
contract.
It's a yearly thing.
We are paying for that? No.
We approve it. We just stay with them. I don't think there's a contract involved.
Trust people work it out.
So, but for this period, we're being fairly, but moving forward,
I'll bring it to the audit meeting next month. What happens?
So you need a motion to approve the payment?
Yes, please.
Motion to approve.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Passes 4-0. All right, the next item is the summer basketball payment for the coaches and the assistants. This is something that the board has already authorized the program. We've established the fees for it. And now we're looking for board approval to actually pay those that participated in the camp. And it looks like this was a very successful camp. We had 70 kids. There were two sessions of two sessions of 2 days. If I can read it right.
I think it was
Three weeks.
Three weeks. of 3 days per week per session.
And then there were two sessions with a different number, right?
I don't know.
Okay. So you're looking for direction from the board as to what for 2 years. I'll look at it.
Okay. The
original payment schedule showed. Excuse me, I got a phone call first. Showed per week 300, 150 for an assistant, and 100 for student assistants. And for one session, it showed 750, 450, and 300 respectively. For both sessions, 15, 19, 6, and 6. And when I called him today, he said that whole session price was based on possibly not being the participation they were expecting, and that his normal rate would have been 300 and the 450 and the 100 for each of the students. Now, he did not have an assistant. So if we pay the top dollar of 300 for the director per week and the students, we will not exceed the 3,600 that would both sessions would total out to. But it would be higher than the first session and second section.
So my understanding is that Coach had worked with our former part-time recreation director on working something out. But
it's not in writing. No. This is the only thing we have in writing.
So
it stays under the original.
It does.
Allocated.
It does. Yes. So you. So the question is,
can we use the weekly rate?
The weekly rate, which is a total of 650.
No, because that's. Let's see.
Or 3,600.
It's 900. That's 1,800 for the director. And let's see.
We didn't have an assistant.
No, we did not have an assistant, so we're saving money there.
We had a student assistant.
Yes.
So, am I reading that right? It's $3,600?
Yes. Yeah.
So you need a motion.
And what I'd like to do is pay the weekly rate rather than the session rate.
Okay.
And that would cover.
Yes. Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to pay the weekly rate for the basketball game for the director and student assistants as outlined here and previously approved by the board, right?
Well, the amount
of the total amount of the
right? Yeah, I'm not sure. That's what I'm told.
Motion approved. Second.
Discussion.
Is it approved?
Thanks.
He said he would accept whatever we decide anyway.
He would. Yeah.
And that's what's fair.
I don't know. That's for you guys to decide.
How many weeks did this go on?
One, two,
3 weeks
for the first session. I thought it was 3 weeks for the second, but I don't know about the second because we haven't had it yet. Because of street times.
Yeah. Okay.
So all in favor? Aye.
The two students.
We still have a meeting going on, so if you could just keep your conversations out in the hall until we're ready. Thank you.
The two boys. And that's what I calculated, and that's what he wants to pay them.
But one of them was not, like the 225 didn't come out of the number.
No,
What I calculated is on a little tab. And we're gonna, you can see what he wants, what he got.
And the reason was because they weren't there for all the sessions.
They weren't there, no. One was there 2 hours a day for three sessions, and the other one missed a whole day.
So the question for the board is that we have three vouchers requesting payment.
His is okay. This is pretty cool. The 300.
Oh, yeah.
300.
And the first one is for Cohn-Wagnon, the voucher is in the amount of $270. Rudy estimated $266.66,
so which is reasonable. And he said he rounded up.
So he rounded up. The one that's more of a question is one for Albert Bassick, the fourth. So you calculated his rate at $199.79 was prorated.
$200.
And they're requesting $225. My recommendation would be to correct it to $200. Yeah. If the court's okay with that. Mm-hmm. Does that work for you?
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
All right. And on the other one, whatever you want to do with that, too.
We'll leave it at $270.
Leave it at $270. Yes, I'm
all set. All right. I'll need a motion to pay the bills as audited.
So moved.
Second favor. Anyone opposed?
No.
Motion passes 4-0. And take a motion to adjourn to the audit. Second. All favor.
All right.
Anyone opposed? Passed. Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to a regular town board meeting for August 27, 2019. And that will have a roll call, Leanne.
Councilman Hogan.
Here.
Councilman Van Tassel.
Here.
Councilman Noonan.
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers.
Here. And with that, I ask everyone to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. To the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone. Before we start the regular agenda, I'd just like to comment on the passing of former town board member Nikki Baker. She passed away, unfortunately, two Fridays ago. She's a very private person, and I'm sure she would not want me commenting on it at board meetings, but having served her community in several roles, I think it's something that's important to do. Nikki was first appointed to the Rec Commission in 1996, and at that time the terms for the Rec Commission members were 7 years. And shortly after that, she was elected to the Monroe Town Board as a council member and served 2 terms, with her second term expiring in 2007. So on behalf of the town residents, we want to thank her posthumously for her service and let her family know that they are in our thoughts and prayers. So with that, I'd just like a moment of silence. Thank you. First item on this evening's agenda is approval of minutes. We have minutes from August 13th, which is the regularly scheduled town board meeting, and also August 19th, which was a town board workshop for discussion on the Universal Playground. Does anyone have any comments, questions on those? And I think everybody was here. Well, Jeannie's not here for one of them, but she's unable to attend this evening, so somebody would like to move those minutes for approval.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
No.
Item 2 on the agenda is to set future meetings and workshops. At this time, I don't have any that I need to set. I don't know if any of the board members had one that would like to schedule.
No.
Item 3 I have listed on the agenda is that of a planned unit development that has been proposed and continues to be modified with input from town board members, and they have asked to provide a short presentation for an update on where they are with that proposal, and are hopeful that the town board members will provide some feedback during that time.
Just kind of, you have smaller copies, I think. Of
right. These. Can the public see that okay?
Fairly.
Rachel, the floor is yours.
Okay. Thank you, everyone, for having us on the agenda tonight. I know that this has been a long time coming, and it's been 2 years since I was last up here. So tonight I want to talk to you guys about some changes in the project that was originally presented, our current development plans, and then kind of our phase for development. With me tonight, I have Dominic Rico, our engineer from CTML, and JP Monto, who is right here. He's with Aries Power, and he's working with us on our solar development. And each of you should have received a PowerPoint presentation that I delivered last week, which has more detail. I don't want to take everybody's time tonight. A more detailed timeline is on the last page of that sheet. So you get into, okay, at what time are we going to do this or what time are we going to do that? That has a more specific timeline. And I did spend a considerable amount of time this week looking at the town's comprehensive plan and the farmland protection plan. And I think what we're trying to do really does complement that. So appreciate open minds. So I just want to introduce our farm real quick. So Westwind Farms is a first-generation farm, which means, among many things, we have mortgages. The farm on Old West Road, which is the proposed site for this project, consists of 308 acres, which was financed with farm credit, with 235 tillable acres at close. There are currently 224 tillable acres, and that's following the National Grid injection site that received a favorable permit from the town late last year. I'm the first of the second generation to show interest in continuing our family farm. However, in order for me to take over the family farm, we need to put a transition plan in place, which will allow us to kind of afford that transition and allow my uncle and my dad to retire. Our succession plan relies on my ability to diversify our income streams and provide passive income, without which it would make it very difficult for my dad and my uncle to kind of hand over those reins. So in today's presentation, you're going to see two separate parcels on that farm that are up for development among multiple zones. One is an M2 industrial zone located within the agricultural district, and the other is either an R2 or an R5, also in the ag district. So 2 years ago, I approached the town to help with financial assistance in drafting a CFA application for the grain hub. That project was essentially started as a central location for the collection and distribution of specialty grains using craft food and beverage. And for many reasons, that project has been retooled, and the grain hub portion of it has been pushed off a bit. But at the time, we did also disclose our intentions for a farm brewery and farm distillery, which we are currently moving forward with. And I'd like to point out that with the exception, the new part is the solar field. With the exception of the solar field being sized above our needs on farm, that our development for the farm brewery and farm distillery and related events should be protected under Ag and Markets Laws 301 and 305, which I have a copy for a guideline that I can give to you guys as well. So the vision behind our farm brewery and farm distillery is a term, I don't like to use buzzwords, but called locavorism, which is the practice of consuming what is grown and produced locally. And so the ingredients for our farm brewery and farm distillery will be grown, processed, and manufactured and sold on site. And those ingredients can include rye, malting barley, wheat, corn, but it'll include over time perennial crops like hops, fruits, different trees, and berries. But we're going to do this sustainably, which is, I have two different terms for sustainably, but the first being we're going to develop it sustainably, meaning financially it's going to be phased in, and the next phase will be dependent on the success of the phase before it. And this way we don't overburden our balance sheets. In addition, our business plan is to sustainably manage our day-to-day operations, which sounds like this. So we're going to grow ingredients that make beer. We're going to use the groundwater, because we don't have water where we are, to make that beer. We're going to separate the solids, the brewer's grains, from that beer, and we're going to feed it to livestock and fertilize that ground. We're going to repurpose the brewery water to irrigate our crops, and then we're going to harvest those crops and use them in production. So that's what we're doing. There's a giant hole to that, though, which is power. We do not have sufficient power on site, and National Grid's estimates are anywhere from $300,000 to $400,000 to bring me three-phase power that I need to run that brewery. So, of course, we started looking at alternative ways to run that system that are more affordable, which obviously cues the solar project. In full disclosure, we currently have a 12-acre solar lease on a farm in Scaticoke that we, on the farm that we own, managed by 4Front Power. And since we kind of have behind-the-scenes access to the development of that, being that we lived there and operated there, you know, we thought that the lease rate was fair, but we knew that we were leaving some value on the table. So when we started looking closer at these development projects in connection with the work that Aries Power does, who's also a developer, we decided to come up with a way to co-develop a project on our own. So we looked at multiple locations that we have under our belt, and Moreau became the number one site for many reasons, but first and foremost because it would defray the initial cost of bringing the brewery three-phase. So if my solar field can pay for it, then my small farm brewery that's going to keep this farm in agricultural production doesn't have to. And that's hugely important because the startup costs for my brewery are less than $500,000. The second thing we thought, you know, it would be somewhat of a favorable use, given that National Grid received a somewhat speedy permit for an industrial use in an ag zone. So we thought, well, this is kind of the same parcel of land. It would be, we could kind of develop it around that injection site. And it worked financially, so the interconnection costs were financeable in our model. So following the solar farm development, tillable acreage will only be reduced by 20 more acres, so we'll still have over 200 acres of tillable farmlands. In our marketing plan, this is very, very important, and I just want to drive this home, is that farmers are generating power, and we're marketing it to other farmers. So we are supporting our agricultural industry, period. We're going to be able to save them a significant amount of money on their energy bill, which is going to reduce their production costs, which is going to make succession planning and the viability of the long-term growth business more realistic. And it provides the passive income that my dad and my uncle need to start giving me more day-to-day responsibilities and control over the company. So our timeline, like I said, is at the back of the presentation there, but we'll be receiving our purchase brewing system at the end of October, and we hope that that brewing system can be operational by next summer. The engineering for the solar array, we hope to start this fall. Of course, it depends on feedback from the town, because we're not going to spend the money on the engineering without, you know, some positive feedback. And then, you know, that could be operational in 12 months if we move quickly. So thank you, guys. I'm going to have Dominic talk a little bit about the site, and then GP will quickly talk about and answer some questions on the solar.
Thank you. Want me to use this mic?
Sure.
Whatever works for you, we could probably hear it.
You're probably right.
Well, Rachel gave you a lot of data, so I can be a lot more brief than what I need to tell you, just to point out. This red area here is the 308 acres. You can see it's located in the southwest corner of the town. This yellow line are the other town properties that border. This is at 87 that runs through here, so it borders along the edge of 87, this portion here, and then you have Old West Road running this way, and then Washburn Road. Washburn Road running this way here. Route 9 is out here. It runs up and down this way. So the area here, and you look at it, I'll show you this one here. As far as the zoning process, what you see here in the brown is the M2 zone. The green is your R5 zone. So this area right here, this parcel right here, this little rectangle is this piece right here, as far as the M2 zone is. The remaining area is in the R5 zone, which the M2, as mentioned, was a considered light industrial type zone. This is the area that we're really referring to as the Z farm, the brewery, distillery. All this action will take place right in this area right here. All the brewery, distillery, any events, any other activities that I want are going to take place right in this area here, which is just about, I believe, 12 to 18 acres to uncover. Everything else is going to be supportive to this. This solar field is over here in the brown area. This is the National Grid permitted area here. This other green area is zoned R5. There's really no presence to exactly what to be done here. But it is in an R5 zone now, so we're not trying to change what's being done here, but we want to incorporate it into the PUD because it's just one whole piece of property. This is an extra area over here at some point, thinking about greenhouses and doing yearly 12 months growth of other products, whatever they can't grow down in. This brown area is their, the area they'll plant all their different weeds and stuff like that. And my understanding of Rachel and James is that they can't grow one thing in one spot all the time. They have to move it around. So, and you guys are farmers, this is that area where all that will happen, and it might be expanded into here, depending on the volume, or expanded up into here. This here is more of an overflow area that we're going to use for event parking, any kind of event. This is another 30 acres of land this whole parcel is about 47, 48 acres in here. There is no water, there is no sewer on the property. We will be using wells, on-site septic, and as Rachel mentioned, the septic sludges and waste will be reutilized within the property. There will be a DEC permit needed for that, but we would get that as well. Water, we know we have accessible water if we have to get into a storage or a emergency type situation with the storage. We would probably supply some kind of storage tank that would 20,000 gallon tank or something like that to fill up the well and it could be used for emergency purposes because there's no other hydrant. Or the other option we do is create a pond, full pond, and have a dry well to that where a pumper could hook up to that and draw out of the pond with the same amount of water. Traffic, there is no improvements looking to be made. It's a town road. The town's fairly decent road. We'll have one access point over here is our proposal. The home that's on there now is going to be lived in by Rachel, and they'll have their own access point there. It'll kind of be separated out by a fence. And this event parking over here will have an access point here. But again, there's a lot of parking here, a lot of needs. So there'll probably be more growth and farming going on here than will be for parking. But again, it'll be no grading. There's no moving of earth or anything except for this area here for foundations and parking lots. And we plan on doing everything in gravel, whatever paved and concrete areas or paths, but mostly everything else will be gravel, landscaped. I believe you have a full, bigger version of this that shows a little more detail, flowering areas, sitting areas, walking areas. There's not a lot there's actually no movement of earth here, even with the solar panels we put on the land as is. It just has to be mowed. Yeah.
Actually, the injection toy will have moved a lot more dirt than the solar well. Mountains and mountains of dirt.
So in general, it's as Richard said, the site itself, even the development part of the site, is very self-sufficient in itself. The barns that are there now locally that are still standing there, there's two left. Don't believe structurally they're going to be adequate for, safety reasons. So they'll probably be taken down and rebuilt, not necessarily in the same spot, but I think he would like to build in the same spot, but I don't know if that'll happen. But there's definitely other structures being built there besides the existing house and barn, which is now where the existing brewery, the first phase, would go. And as Rachel also said, this phase is the first phase in order for this to happen. The phases that we've shown on here are basically phases that we believe need to happen prior to the phase before. So phase four could not happen without phase one, two, and three. And that's our procedure and our theory at this point as far as how we're going to phase out the project. I think this probably gives you a good idea what the land is, what we're doing.
Thank you. Okay. So my name is Jake Macho. I'm a partner in a small energy development company in Albany, New York called Aries Power. We're doing lots of activity in the commercial industrial space in all the Greater Capital District. And I believe in the package we submitted, there's several drawings related to the solar farm. Given how much time we're spending on this, I don't want to go into those in detail unless you have specific questions. What I do want you to know is that this is a local project. We're teaming with Rachel and her father on this project, and the intent is to finance it locally for the community. So it's a community solar farm with the intention of targeting offtake to farmers.
Okay. And if I while you're still
sure,
what was the size of the proposed solar room?
4.5 megawatts of AC power.
I thought, so then you have to have a converter to get for your three phase, or how do you get the three phase?
What's happening is put the solar farm in, we're bringing three phase power down Washburn Road.
Oh, okay.
And she'll touch that.
They need the three phase to take the solar off.
Right.
You're basically selling solar into the grid.
Selling solar into the grid.
And
we can buy solar from we get to use the solar from the field also in the brewery. So we're using green energy also produce on-site in production. So it just kind of compounds that whole locavore kind of mindset, right? Of using everything that we're taking from the ground and putting back into the ground. So.
Thank you. I do have a few questions. I know some there'll be additional questions from board members. Rachel and your team, you were kind enough to meet with me actually yesterday, I believe. And so appreciate you taking the time to do that. During that conversation, I had pointed out to you that the board is very committed to maintaining the integrity of the ag district, and some of this, all of it is contained within the ag district, although a different zone within the property. And so, if you review our, land use plan, you'll know that the ag district encompasses approximately 8,000 acres. Of that, approximately 4,000 is tillable. So that leads me to the question, because I need clarification. Are you asking that all 308 plus or minus acres be contained in the PUD, or are you asking that the board consider not only the first area you talked about, where the brewery would be located, just that and the area where the solar field would be located?
I guess I would punt that back to you guys. So the PUD process was definitely kind of how we were instructed to proceed with initial meetings, and we never really knew what to do with all of the acreage as we looked down the road, so we didn't have, we don't have plans, I guess, outside of what has been presented. So we can either remove the green and the purple parcels from the PUD entirely and leave it as in its existing zone. I don't know if it has any legal ramifications because there's the same tax number or not. If there was a way to make this an easier process than a PUD, I'm open to all ears open. I as I look through some of the Ag and Markets guidelines, I don't even know that a PUD is necessary for anything other than the solar being sized above our needs, because under, we could debate that all day, but there are a lot of protections for ag products, and beer, wine, cider, and spirits are defined as agricultural products, and the sale of those products on site is permitted. So it is, I guess I would just throw it back at you guys. We can either include it and just say we're not, we're no future updates, but what I would ask is we want to keep it R5. I don't want to lock it up into one way or another. We prefer to keep it R5 because our intent is to farm it as long as we can farm it. And if we do everything right, then it'll always be farmland. So.
And this question, we have one administrator with us this evening, whom I asked to be here as a board had questions. And so Jim, prior to enactment of our solar moratorium, the only areas in the town that permitted commercial solar arrays were in our industrial zoned areas.
That's correct.
Which includes industrial park and that upper portion in this parcel?
I don't recall that being in the M2. I think it's only in the M1. And, our code being somewhat dated, the classification that has been coming in under is power plant, because that's what we have listed. This code was written at a time where commercialization of solar was not contemplated.
I guess the way I read the code was that under special use permit, you could do power generation in an M2. And of course, I guess I could go that way and switch my whole project around. But frankly, that's put a lot of development into this, right?
And we also talked about being cognizant of the moratorium that's in place, and the fact that we do not allow solar arrays, commercial generation outside, you know, those specific areas, it complicates what you're asking the board for, basically an unofficial approval to continue to move forward, because we don't know what we're going to do in the other areas of the town that aren't zoned for solar arrays. So having said that, how important is it that you have the solar array be part of the PUD?
It's very important that we get the solar array done. I don't know how else to answer that, but like I said, I don't have three-phase power. I'm already working with no sewer and no water. You know, I'm already working with some pretty significant barriers to doing this job. There's a reason why Common Roots is where Common Roots is, right? So, shy of somebody gifting me three-phase power, which isn't going to happen, we need to figure out a way to get the solar field done. So, I guess to answer your question, maybe it makes sense to kind of bifurcate the PUD and move one, you know, move them simultaneously, but as two different PUDs, or, you know, like I said, if it makes sense that the one parcel is removed from it, we could do that too. I think, you know, I understand where the town is at and needing to find regulatory framework to manage those solar arrays. You know, it's just so difficult for me to digest, because, you know, digesters on dairy farms are wildly supported, and the Post Star had an article not too long ago about a local dairy farm putting digesters on, you know, I think it was Northumberland, not Moreau, but then hauling the methane to the injection site that we frankly did not want to do, and we were backed into a corner to do. So, you know, it just seems unfair to say one farm can do power generation for commercial and another can't. And, you know, I respect the town wanting to come up with a regulatory framework. I just want to stress that in order for us to commit to keeping this farm in production, it's an extremely, extremely expensive piece of property. I have to find ways to develop it, and I'm trying my best to do it in ways that protect agriculture. I'm committed to doing it, spending money doing it. We have to find a way to come through on the solar side. So,
another question for Jim. I know that in the conversations on this project with, I guess you call an applicant, so it's not an application yet. The recommendation was to go in the PUD direction.
Yes.
But as Rachel indicated, and I think you have in previous conversations, this is something that could go before the planning board, and there's an avenue for that to be approved, minus the solar, right?
Or not. I don't know. I feel very uncomfortable as a zoning administrator, you know, stretching the agricultural use to include, you know, all the things I've heard that, you know, the nuances that are associated with this project. You know, what I've heard is the idea of weekend concerts, events, you know, festivals, you know, things of that nature. And I get it, at its core, this has got a lot of agricultural uses with it, and that's something we welcome, obviously, in the R5 zone. But I think we're...
So I don't want to debate the merits of the proposal.
No, I'm not talking about the merits. We saw how it technically fits in. I think there are uses here that are mixed in nature, that are supportive of a core function, a core pursuit, and that's basically the definition of a PUD.
Does she have to go through the PUD process, or is there another way?
Given everything that is contemplated here, I think that's the best avenue, because otherwise we're going to be restricting things that could be things that she's interested in doing, and even more importantly, are crucial to the financial viability of the overall project. So, you know, I can appreciate, you know, the apprehension that comes with, you know, understanding a process and working through it, but, you know, there are certain you know, functions of this project have got to be aired. You know, they've got to be discussed, and they got to see how they can legislatively be approved by you as a legislative body. And that's my principal concern, you know, that the town is well protected in how this was viewed and how it's regulated going forward, and we're on solid ground legally, and we're in compliance with, you know, with what planning and zoning tries to achieve, the overall, you know, interests and desires of the residents of the town. You know, and so this will certainly be a process by which there's a lot of public airing of this project. You know, there'll be several public hearings, there'll be a seeker review. So that's what, you know, these regulatory processes are all about. And I, you know, I think, based on what I've heard about what is trying to be achieved here, all these bells and whistles and all these moving parts, which is fine, that's not being critical, very typical of PUDs, it's the best way to go. Because otherwise, we're going to have to be bending definitions and restricting things that might want to be done that could be detrimental, you know, to the success of the project.
I think that Jim has some valid points. Like, there are some things that we want to do that maybe stretch the existing zoning. But I do want to stress that, and I don't know, to my understanding, ag and markets laws can be very influential. And 305 says that we can have festivals as long as the main point is to sell our beer, and that's what it's for. We can have special events, undefined, as long as it's to sell our beer. So what I'm concerned about is that while we do have very high aspirations to be this like destination and this cultural center down the road, it's going to take time to get there. And I can't spend $100,000 in engineering and planning in 12 months to get to some phase that we're not going to get to for several years. So the first phase of this project, as it relates to brewing and distilling, let's just stop talking about solar for a second, is to repurpose a barn that's on site to make beer, to have people come to our little tap room and drink beer. That is phase one. It might include a collaboration with another brewery or a free guy playing the guitar in the corner on a Sunday. It does not include 100,000 people at the farm for 3 days on end. That's not what we're doing, okay? So I just want to be very clear that that has to work before anything else can even be considered.
Yeah, and the board is very cognizant of that, and I'm actually well versed in ag markets law.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
And I just want to point out for everybody here, you know, when this proposal was initially presented to the board, you know, there's a level of support here. We wrote a letter of support for the consolidated funding application. I mean, that demonstrated the board's interest.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a little bit more trepidation as the project kind of morphed a little bit. And so I'm going to let the rest of the board, you know, obviously have an opportunity to ask questions. But I think that is, you know, the morphing to, you know, 300 acres with other stuff in there that's not necessarily what we had envisioned when the project was initially proposed. Just so we have some level of pause. So with that, I'm going to look at all the board members and kind of let them ask all the questions.
Hi. So I'm just curious. So the in the lot three there with the solar farm with pond and your habitat is listed on your map. Would that be all 21.92 acres covered with solar arrays?
Essentially.
So the brown part.
We would, whatever, we would, an access road, mm-hmm. right? But the intention is to use that field for that purpose.
Mm-hmm. That's another question. So in 20 years, if you want to go back to farming all this land, I get the solar array will be there. What else would have to be taken away that you were going to put in? Not much, right? So you're adding a few things up here in lot one, mm-hmm. and you're adding 21 acres of, which is a lot of acreage, but I think one of the reasons
why we've got the moratorium in is to figure out going forward as you know, as the technology changes, how do solar arrays do they become like a giant whole settlers, right? Like we, so I'm assuming that's going to be part of the plan going forward, how to maintain and change what technology is going forward there. So I guess the point I'm getting at is, you know, what can be, what's really going to be on the land if you want to take it down in 20 years or 30 years? I see 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 buildings there right now.
Yeah, there's.
Yeah, we would put money aside. We would always put money aside to bring it back to the condition we got.
Is that money that has the cost to make those changes as it increases that money? Is it going to be an adequate amount of money?
So we're going to accrue to remove the solar panels, is what we're saying, right? So we're going to sign a lease with, let's say we're signing a lease with Rachel or anybody else. We're going to say we're going to set this money aside. So after 20, 25 years, whatever the lease term is, we're going to take it all out, right? Because that's their land, obviously, right? So we're going to put the money aside for that. That's what's good. We're going to put that in our financial.
And who holds that money? You or the bank?
So it will be in a bank, right? Because it will be bank banks. Right. The bank will put that in escrow. Yep.
And say your company's not around for 25 years, who?
It'll be bank project finance, sure. Right? So okay. The bank will actually own the equipment for quite a bit of time, and they will have that money in escrow.
Okay. All right.
And as it relates to the buildings, where we've got housed, we've got like the building that Brewery's going in, and then we have an expansion plan to do a larger brewery if our first phase is successful. So that's kind of the plan. There won't be an enormous amount of structures. We've talked to Jim, and I think I said to you, Todd, you know, we'd like to do like farm stays, and we have like some tiny houses so people can kind of come and be part of that experience. It's kind of our mission, right, is to be able to get people involved in this whole supply chain and how we make what they're consuming and how we take care of our property. So,
I mean, I think it's learning, I guess, for me as a board member going forward. I don't have the history with agriculture side of things, but I understand the need to preserve it, and I listen and I trust all of the farmers that are here as stewards of the land. What you gotta do for the land. So I think it's an interesting project. I'm certainly interested in hearing more going forward.
Any other
questions? I don't have a lot. Just a couple, Rachel. Thank you again for coming in front of us.
Thanks for having us.
Love to see us figure out how to get this done. Is the timeline solid? I know you just delivered the PowerPoint, but is it the June, September?
It's pretty far. Well, if you have to imagine, I'm buying this brewing system that is going to sit there for incurred expenses without being used. So the timeline for the brewery is pretty, it's all pretty solid. There's some things we may be able to push around, but if I miss like a summer of brewing, in this region, it's like a crime, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
The brewery itself, does she need a PUD to move forward?
Again, I'm not trying to be obstructionist here. And I get the impression that Rachel thinks I am.
I know, you have very good points.
I'm not. I'm just making sure that, again, I will say it again, the town is on solid ground legally, and there is a process by which the residents can understand what's going on here. And I'm just trying to fit this into our regulatory tools that we got available. You know, do we have an up-to-date solar law? No, we're in the process of doing that. Do we have an up-to-date zoning law? No, we're in the process of doing that. So under the current regulations we have to deal with, we're trying to fit this in. And PUD is the best avenue. I can appreciate, and I've said this to Rachel many times, I understand the cost factor she's up against. But I'm just trying to make this work for her in the best system that we have available, and that's a PUD. So I just want to make sure that's clear. You know, there's going to be a number of questions that come up that are going to be good questions that need to be thought through. And I guarantee you, this development team will learn things about their project they didn't know by the time they get done at the end of this. Because I've gone through this. I've been on the other side. So there's going to be, the planning board's going to have good questions. You know, the residents during the public hearings are going to have good questions. And that's healthy. So we can get through this. We'll do it expeditiously. But, you know, this process exists for a reason. I have great respect for it because it works when it's administered correctly. And we will do that. It will be the best interest of the project and the best interest of the community. So in terms of this interface with the ag law, you know, I would encourage you to reach out to your attorney and have him research and does he concur or Carla concur that, you know, they have an opinion that, you know, this is a proper application of this law or it's a proper application of town PUD law. I, as the administrator, think it is. But because I think there are enough things associated with this that could potentially be outside of the realm of what's strictly, you know, grown and produced on site. I think there's, and she should have that opportunity to do that. She shouldn't be constrained. If it's in the interest of success of her project, then by all means she should have the opportunity to do that. And we can accommodate what's in the framework of the ag law and things even beyond that, if needs be, we just need to go through a certain procedure.
I mean, there are definitely elements of, like, the PUD being very helpful for us, particularly hours of operation or not having to get a special use permit every single time we do something. You know,
for example, I shared this with Rachel, because one of the ideas she had as she's thinking through this is potentially, you know, some overnight camping and things on site. We just went through a special use permit procedure with the zoning board on an RV that I'm sure Todd's very aware of. We have 25 conditions on that, on a special use permit project that started in November and just got approved in March. And it went through many, many hours of review. Chris Music, who did that, I'm sure he will tell you what he learned about his project and how much better it is now as a result of that. The septic is properly thought through. The access is as secure as it can be. We found the best location for it, for the public to access that business. The neighbors now understand what's going to be next to them and the limits that are placed upon it. I mean, this stuff works if you just allow it to play out and not project it to be this onerous, expensive, unnecessary process, because it's not.
Yeah, and I'm not saying.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying
that we don't want to go to the PUD route. My only question was, does she have to go to the PUD route?
From what I've seen in this project and the various elements that are associated with it, that would be my determination. Yes. And I'm happy to put that in writing as a zoning administrator.
Well, you got on record.
Yeah.
You're. The question, again, I mean, if she had no other plans on this property at all, just wanted to come in and put a brewery in that barn, restore it, put the brewery in there. I think the way the code reads, and I don't think that she would be allowed to do that in that one aspect. What kicked in the PUD process is that there's other things that the growth of that is going to expand into other things, make it more of a place of destination more, where you can have a small event or maybe one time a larger event where there could be 4,000 or 5,000 people at, but it's not a continuous, you know, weekend type thing where there's like a SPAC or anything like that, but it's focused around the farm, the brewery and distillery and everything else that will go with that property. The PUD does help us because it allows us to put things in there that necessarily may not be under a proper zoning. But it hurts a little bit more, too, because there's a lot more expansion of what I need to know and what we need to know as a town and a developer to put into the property. Like you just said, I don't know how much wastewater I'm going to put until I know what we're going to put there. So I got 100 acres of land that could now put single-family residential on. It could be a, if we put it in the PUD, that it could be a trailer park or a small home park with cabins. All those things take water and they take sewer. So under the PUD, if I want to have that in there in the PUD as an approved use, then
it's a lot more work.
It's a lot more work for us to get to that point. Now, talking with Jim and the understanding that we would hopefully only be able to put that detailed work into what we want to do now, and then the rest of it would follow through. So when we did want to do the event and put an amphitheater in or whatever we're going to do there, or do
subject to further town approval.
Right. We would just come in and present that information and do that. So.
And then therein lies, I think, another advantage in the PUD is there's a lot of flexibility, not only in terms of the design, but how and when the design is executed. If they want to put this off to another phase, I mean, there could be aspects of this property that are just, it's undetermined. And she acknowledges she's got to come back in and provide that detail and go through essentially the procedure all over again when you do want to pull that trigger and execute that phase. But for right now, that's correct. We want to just focus in on phase one and whatever acreage is entailed in that. You know, I think that can be done. That's perfectly fine. And phase two, three, or four can be put off until a future date.
And if we just come bring the conversation back, I know that you know, Rachel and her team are looking for direct input from the board members to see what the next step is for them. So I know we haven't got to the agenda. This is really the legislative portion of our responsibilities. And I just want to make sure that all the board members have an opportunity to question or comment on what's happening.
So, I'm not opposed to this project. My concerns are with the solar farm and the size of it and location of it. But with that said, you know, I like solar. I think it's a good thing. Three phase, I'm sorry you don't have it down there. I do understand cost of running wires. The overall plan with the, you know, I want to say theater. It's, you know, the brewery and the theater together. I'm almost excited by it. Not that I do go drinking at all, but I, you know, like the idea of, you know, entertainment.
Yeah.
That I'm not opposed to. What my thoughts are when you talk about, like, the property here and growing your own produce for this. And when you talk about like the tiny houses, etc., and having R5 zoning still on this, which I'm all for R5, but to turn around and know that you might have to sell it at some point to keep the brewery going, you're also going to cut back on what you can actually have for places to grow your.
So I don't think we have any plans to sell the property. You mean if we were in dire straits with the brewery?
Kind of, yes.
Okay. So I guess I can give you a little insight. So I used to be an investment banker in New York. So before I came home to the farm, I had squirreled away some money.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm purchasing the equipment with cash.
Okay.
So we're not leveraging to get the brewery done. It's not going to be on the farm's balance sheet. It's going to be, you know, taking a risk, I guess. But there shouldn't be a situation where the farm itself is ever wrapped up in any sort of financial problems as it relates to the brewery, because I'm financing the brewery with my own money.
Okay.
I currently don't own the farm. It's owned by my dad and my uncle. And, you know, again, we think this is a home run. We've worked with many different promoters. We've worked with many different people who throw festivals and cultural events. The Albany Symphony wants to come and play sometimes. We like farm lights. You know, it's kind of an exciting project for a lot of people. So I think if it generates that kind of you know, gusto, the thought of having to sell the thing is ever going to be, you know, on the table. So what is on the table is, you know, my dad, he's 59, my uncle's 57. They just purchased the property. It's financed for how many decades, right? The mortgage is huge. And so in order to, you know, when they purchased it, it didn't add any more value. We've been leasing it and farming it for 30 years. Mm-hmm. So we purchased it. We got this much more debt and no more revenue, right? So it kind of threw the balance sheet off. And now we're looking at ways to make sure that we're preserving the farmland, but also increasing income so that we can keep it in farming, mm-hmm. right? And, I mean, the price of land in this area right now, I mean, is such that even if you got $40,000 for a lot, I can get more selling it to Thomas Poultry. So it doesn't even really make sense to think about residential. The really only reason that ever came up was because in understanding how PUDs work, it felt like we had to ask for the highest and best use. And that's the only reason it ever appeared, was because, well, we're doing this and we're spending the money, let's ask for the highest and best use, because who knows? Mm-hmm. But it's never our intention.
Okay. And then we go to solar, which, you know, I'm not opposed to the solar, but and my concerns are the longevity. You know, a solar field that, solar panels will have a life expectancy of 25 years, is that right? And with 25 years when they're no longer producing the electricity that you need or that, you know, would be expected. Now, he said that there's money in escrow to be taken, take this down and move it. And honestly, if it's solar you're looking for, you might be putting up something new and fresh, mm-hmm. something smaller even.
Sure.
But, yeah. Or maybe it's the same size field but producing more energy because they made solar panels better. You'd like to think so.
They do. They make solar. I just want to make sure the board realizes that there's a limit on what the size of the solar field that can be injected into a distribution system, and it's 5 megawatts. So
okay.
We're probably never going to be, even if we get more compact, we're probably not going to be much bigger than this.
Okay. Well, no, I wouldn't expect it to grow in size. I would actually expect it to shrink, or
right.
Would you say 5 megawatts, because why?
That's the limit. That's the interconnection limit. That's a PSC, New York State Public Service Commission limit.
Is that
connect to the distribution.
Okay. Okay. So that's the maximum size that you could
yep.
connect into the
yep.
grid.
That's right. Bigger one, if you're bigger than that, you're connected to the transmission line.
Okay. All right. All right. Tiny houses. Cabins. Things like that.
Yeah.
Where do you think that those would be?
We have kind of a initial location for some of those in this wooded area here. There's some really big pine trees.
That's right off of Washburn Road?
Yeah, it's right off of Washburn Road. So if we were to do it, it'd be a driveway coming into that small cornfield there,
mm-hmm.
and they'd be placed kind of sporadically around in there. And what that kind of allows people to do is, if they're not staying up here, creating congestion, but then there's, you know, they can kind of walk up and walk through the fields and kind of be able to experience that, get to the brewery, and they can leave from Washburn and go to Monroe Lake and, you know, other sorts of destinations that they are interested in.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
I just want to comment. Council Member LeClaire was unable to attend this evening. She just wanted me to voice her opposition to solar. I'm not sure you're aware of that. So with that, I think I would encourage each board member to, if you have additional questions or comments, provide them either to my office and I can answer Rachel, or to Rachel or to me directly, so they can have a sense on what the next step is for them. You know, at the end of the day, we want to do things that keep that sector or town viable, and parts of the project that you're talking about, I think, accomplish the goal of the board, and you know, we'll go from there.
Great. Thank you so much. Very generous amount of time, so And I look forward to kind of answering your questions and more detail.
Well, thank you. I do have one more question.
I just want to comment from the board. The next step procedurally, just to clarify and confirm, would be for you to resolve to send this off to the planning board for recommendation and off to the county planning board for recommendation as well. Then you get those two recommendations back. There's further deliberation, and at that juncture, you would consider taking up the secret form, have your public hearing, and then you're in a position to make a decision. And at any time in that process, you're not bound by any kind of time frames on this stuff. It's at your discretion. So, you know, there is no, you know, 30 days for this, 60 days for that. It's a matter of when you feel like moving it. So, but the next formal procedure would be to refer it on to the two respective planning boards for advisory opinion back to you.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
Four on this evening's agenda. Health insurance. Thank you.
Good night.
I have listed the health insurance for our town employees, both for active employees as well as retirees. And the board has heard a presentation from Jager Flynn, and I'm asking the board to make a decision as to what plans they want to move forward with for offering the employees effective December 1st, 2019 through November 30th. I do know that Jager Flynn has met with the union to discuss what the board is considering. They are okay with it, and it would be my recommendation to accept the following health care plans for town employees for the period December 1, 2019, ending November 30, 2020. First would be the basic plan that we offer, which is the CDPHP, HCHMO qualified 324 plan, which, as I indicated, is the base plan that allows you to use local providers. The cost to the town, we're very pleased that it will be a 1.07% increase over last year. We've had some years when we were looking at double-digit increases for employees, we're very pleased to be able to move forward with the same coverage that they had last year. We're also going to offer again the MVP Silver 3 EPO ACHP option, which is a national plan. Employees don't have to take it, but you know, it gives them a little more coverage. That particular plan has increased over last year 6.73%. So if the board is in agreement, I would entertain a motion to move forward and accept those plans.
Motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion?
Very, very fortunate. I know that we can't control this, but there's not a year where we don't have a huge increase for our town employees in 3%.
So with that, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
No.
4-1, that is approved. And just to be clear, that will give Jager and Flynn the authority to contact both CDPHP and MVP to procure these plans on the town behalf. Also, under health insurance, I know the insurance company, insurance committee met with Jager and Flynn, I think it was last week, which is council members Hogan and LeClaire, and talked about other possible plans.
that the town may be interested in at this time, based on those conversations and feedback from board members, I would ask the board to authorize that the town of Moreau authorize Jaeger and Flynn to contract with the town to offer a flexible spending account, or FSA, and a dependent care assistance plan, also called DCAP, programs for town employees. And these programs shall be based on current IRS regulations.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Anyone opposed? That's approved 4-0. Thank you. Item 5 this evening is the assessor that I have listed. And as the board and the public is aware, we have been served by an acting assessor after the retirement of our sole assessor prior to completion of her term. And at this time, we have had extensive conversations with a candidate, and I would ask the board for a motion to appoint Leah Cronin as the town's sole assessor for the period commencing October 1, 2019, which corresponds with the 6-year commencement of the terms for assessors across the state at a salary of $62,000. Yeah, and as part of that motion, that also on that date, for the purpose of vacation accrual, she shall be deemed an 8-year employee on that day.
Motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion?
Couldn't be happier. We got really lucky. We interviewed an awful lot of people, but this person's a strong candidate. She was locally. She had tons of experience. Her references are outstanding, and we've liked the job she's done with us so far. So.
And she's been employed in this field for another municipality for over 8 years. I know I had conversations with the supervisor of that municipality, and all those, including he, have spoken very highly of her. They are sad to see her leave. And this, their misfortune is our great fortune. So I'm very pleased that we will have somebody in that position that I have no question will do a phenomenal job in service our residents for the best of our ability. So that's very good news.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
No.
So we have hired Leah Cronin effective October 1, 2019, and vote 4-0. And I'll just say for the record, Council Member LeClaire has been involved in all in the interviews and conversations directly with Leah, and I know she is also supportive of the appointment. Also under assessor, our acting assessor, soon to be sole assessor, has requested to attend the Assessor Fall Conference, which will be held in Lake Placid, for assessment training for September 22nd through September 25th. And the charge cost to the town for a near state Assessors Association members, $175. Lodging and meals equates to $867. And if you add mileage into it, it's approximately $111 or $112. She's looking for approval to expend $1,154 for that mandatory training, which will be for the 2020 year assessor training department.
Motion to approve.
Yes, I was just curious about this part.
That's not part of it.
Okay. Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Yes.
Yes. Anyone opposed?
Motion passes. Next item is a large department request. Our large superintendent, Jessica Fish, has requested that is this for you, Desmond, or is this for you or for your employee?
It's for a Christian.
Okay. Attend a 5-night stay for Class B water school training at Cortland. What's the date of that?
October 7th through the 11th.
And he has obtained 3 quotes for the government rate of staying at the Hampton Inn in Cortland, which is $470 for 5 nights. The Clarion Inn, which is $449.95. And the Holiday Inn Express, also in Cortland, which would be $699.75. And he's recommending we go with authorization for Clarion Inn and an amount not to exceed $449.95. And this will be paid for from account 8310.4.
Also moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
And mileage on that? Or is that a in person?
Are you taking a town truck? Are you taking a town truck? Or
what would you prefer to do?
Whatever you want. I mean, we have
leave that up to the board. Is the town truck available to go for the week?
It would be your department.
Well, I mean, does the town approve it? Would they approve of it going for a week?
If you want to use the truck,
yeah, sure.
I'll
run that by him and I'll have to answer that after I
So then, just so we don't have to come back, if you prefer to use his personal vehicle, I would suggest that the motion include a proper reimbursement per town office. For my
okay.
Another motion.
Yeah.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
That work? So it's his choice. Second request from the water department is for Christian mechanics to attend water training school so he can obtain 4 hours of what, 2B classification training.
The water to obtain his 2B operator's license.
Operator's license. And that is offered in Portland at a cost of $575 by the water operator training program. That would also come out of account 8310.4.
Motion to approve.
We'll include the same thing about mileage in this.
Well this is the same course.
Oh, it's the same.
We're just approving this hotel.
Thank you.
Right.
So.
This is just the cost.
I'm sorry.
The other one was this town. Right.
I'll say that.
Kevin.
Yes.
Second.
You did.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Anyone opposed?
No.
Thank you.
I'd hate to send them out there without putting them through the course.
All right. Next item on the agenda is municipal complex landscaping. I know Council Member LeClaire has been meeting with various suppliers. Most recently, she met with an additional one that's actually here in town.
potent flax nurseries. And the question she has is if the board would like to move forward on landscaping. We had budgeted monies this year for that purpose here at the town complex. I think board members have copies of all the proposals. Some of them were reviewed at the last board meeting. The new addition to that information that's already on the record is that of the quote from Coflax Nursery LLC. He has provided a listing of the cost for the trees. That is the retail price, which would include four 2-inch caliper ornamental pears, two 2-inch caliper red maple autumn blades, three 15-gallon hydrangea trees, four 2-inch ornamental pear or oaks, 10 spirited DP gold, I think those are shrubs, 13 soil amendment, 1 cubic soil amendments for trees and shrubs, and 2 yards of mulch. And with the price that he has listed, retail price, we can, if we want to go with him as a vendor, if we pay the retail price, he will do the installation for no charge, to do the soil amendments, labor for no charge, and there will be a 1-year guarantee with that. And he also has a phase two, which he has provided pricing on, which would be for trees along the front of town hall, and that would be for 4 7-foot Norway spruces, 5 2-inch caliper shade trees, and 9 cubic yards of soil amendments for trees and shrubs, with an additional yard and a half of mulch with no charge for labor, which would be included in the retail price, same circumstances. We could probably do better if we want to install them but ourselves, but in looking at the cost of the other vendors, we were receiving a 30% discount for municipalities. It did not include delivery. It did not include a warranty. And another vendor, which we discussed on the record, was even more expensive. So Councilmember LeClaire's recommendation is that we go with Coflax for a total cost of $8,944.46. Now, if we want to do both phase one and phase two this fall, we'll have to do a budget transfer to accomplish that. So what's the board's pleasure?
If we just did phase one, we wouldn't have to do a budget transfer, correct?
That is correct. But the we have monies in the buildings, general buildings account for the municipal complex. Mm-hmm. So probably wouldn't be expending for the purpose of this year. Okay. If you wanted to do phase two. So basically, the landscaping on the east side, along the front of the building, two or four trees, in addition to the ones we have out here, and then 9 trees along the parking to provide shade for the lawn.
Just my own personal thought is that if it's better for them to go in the fall, then we should do it now for phase two, one and two, I'd say, but it doesn't matter. Push it out to the next year and still have the same effect. Better grow. I don't know if it's a growing season.
Yeah, so that was a question I raised. Actually, yeah. When Gina was meeting with Rich, I actually stopped in real briefly. I was passing by and I asked that question. And because these trees are spring dug, already in stock with them, they've already established new root growth.
Okay.
So they can go into the fall. If they're being dug in now, he would recommend doing it this time.
Okay.
And they're warm, so
sure. I guess I was concerned about it getting cold.
And I think he mentioned that on the clue because we don't have irrigation on that side. Water bags for the plants so that they are properly watered and filled and frost.
So I guess I would be in favor of phase 1 and 2, or part 1 and part 2, as well as described here in this proposal.
Well, so I can't do that until here. Yeah, if you're here, one before.
I'm okay with it.
All right. So then, that being the case, I entertain a motion to transfer $3,944.46 from account A 1620.401, which is the General Buildings Municipal Complex Contractual Fund, and be transferred to account A 1620.2, which is the General Buildings Equipment.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Next, now we can actually authorize the procurement of the, or acceptance of the proposal from Code Flax Nursery LLC, which would be in the amount not to exceed $8,944.46.
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
No.
Motion carries. I want to thank Councilmember LeClaire for, I know she's been working on that for a long time, so thank you for her efforts on that. Item number 8 is fire extinguisher inspections. As you recall, we have to do annual inspections of the fire extinguishers around town. We have 89 fire extinguishers in addition to the K-type fire suppression systems we have at the rec facility or the cookers. The price is the same as what we were charged last year, with the exception of the K-type suppression systems, which we have two of, and that price increased $17 over last year's age system. So basically it's a $34 increase over last year. We received three quotes. First one is from New York Fire Security for $1,650. The next is for I think it's lawn equipment out of Troy, who did not respond. And we also had no response from American Safety Products. So the recommendation is to go with New York Fire Security. At an amount not to exceed $1,660, since the $1,650 is an estimate.
Yeah. Motion to approve.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Next request is in regards to the Recreation Department. This is for the cost of teachers for the flag football program. We received three quotes. First is for Northland Graphics, the cost of $653.50. The second is for ARCA Inc. for an amount of $814. And the third is for Rumpke's promo, price of $1,238.75.
because we usually order a few extra. My suggestion would be that we go to the lowest cost supplier in an amount not to exceed $700 for those t-shirts. This would come from account A7310.4, which has a current balance of $7,060.84.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Yes.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Item 10 on the agenda is to have in policy through a resolution what we will do for records retention disposal. We have already adopted a policy, I think it was a 1989 or 1993.
I don't recall. I know that I printed it today, but I can't remember. It was in the 80s.
So for public's benefit, municipalities or any public body is required to have a policy in place for retention of records. While we have been following the policy, I ask that we have a resolution that is specific to that. And so with that, I'll ask the clerk to read the resolution.
Resolution, Town Board, Town of Moreau, subject records retention and disposal. Whereas the retention and proper disposal of town records is required under the Arts and Cultural Affairs Law, and whereas the legislature has determined that these records must be systematically managed to ensure ready access to vital information and to promote the efficient and economical operation of government, and whereas the Commissioner of the Department of Education has promulgated a schedule which sets forth the minimum length of time that records need to be maintained, and whereas the Town of Moreau has previously adopted Schedule MU1 relating to records retention and disposal, and whereas electronic mail received or sent by town employees is included as a town record and should be retained and disposed of according to Schedule MU1, and whereas retention of electronic mail is specifically necessary to allow for smooth and efficient transition upon termination of employment and to maintain the historical records and information of the town. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Town of Moreau specifically requires all electronic mail received or sent by town employees shall be retained in accordance with Schedule MU1 for the minimum retention period and will be disposed of in accordance therewith. And be it further resolved that upon termination, either voluntary or involuntary, from employment with the Town of Moreau, all electronic mail sent, received, or sent by the employee which falls within Schedule MU1 as a town record must be retained.
Thank you, Leanne. And upon adoption of this resolution, my suggestion is that we include a copy of it in paycheck for all employees so that they've also received a direct notice of the town's policy. So would someone like to move that resolution?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item 11 is a proclamation which will designate the month of October as Dysautonomia Awareness Month. I had received a request from town resident Sophie Majeka, who is suffering from this illness. It's a debilitating autoimmune disease, which can be fatal in some instances. When I received it, I knew nothing of the disease. And when I received the email from her and actually reviewed all the impacts that it can have on a human body, it's really quite debilitating. It's a disease that affects the automatic bodily functions, which include respiration, heart rate, blood pressure, digestion, temperature control, and many other things, and some forms of this disease are actually considered extremely rare, such as multiple system atrophy and pure autonomic failure. Upon her request, I actually received on the day of a county board supervisors meeting, and I asked that the county also declare the month, the Zootonomia Awareness Month, and the chairman of the board declared October the same. So I'm asking the Moreau Town Board to do the same. And Leah, if you'd like to read the resolution.
Sure. Proclamation for Dysautonomia Awareness Month. Whereas dysautonomia is a group of medical conditions that result in a malfunction of the autonomic nervous system, which is responsible for automatic bodily functions such as respiration, heart rate, blood pressure, digestion, temperature control, and more. And whereas some forms of dysautonomia are considered rare diseases, such as multiple system atrophy and pure autonomic failure, while other forms of dysautonomia are common, impacting millions of people in the U.S. and around the world, such as diabetic autonomic neuropathy, neurocardiogenic syncope, and postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And whereas dysautonomia impacts people of any age, gender, race, or background, including many individuals living in the town of Moreau. And whereas some forms of dysautonomia can be very disabling, and this disability can result in social isolation, stress on the families of those impacted, and financial hardship. And whereas some forms of dysautonomia can result in death, causing tremendous pain and suffering for those impacted and their loved ones. Whereas increased awareness about dysautonomia will help patients get diagnosed and treated earlier, save lives, and foster support for individuals and families coping with dysautonomia in our community. And whereas Dysautonomia International, a 501c3 nonprofit organization that advocates on behalf of patients living with dysautonomia, encourages communities to celebrate Dysautonomia Awareness Month each October around the world. And whereas we seek to recognize the contributions of the professional medical community, patients and family members who are working to educate our citizenry about dysautonomia in the town of Moreau. Now therefore be it resolved that the town board of the town of Moreau does hereby proclaim the month of October as Dysautonomia Awareness Month throughout the town of Moreau.
Thank you, Leah. Somebody would like to
thank you.
Adoption of the resolution.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. And I will, I know Sophie will be thrilled that not only that we took action, but that we did so expeditiously. So she'll be thrilled. So thank you for that. At this time, I would come to item 12 on the agenda, which is the privilege of the floor. If anybody would like to address the board and make comments, you have 3 minutes to do so. Please state your name and address for the record prior to speaking. Mr. Andrews.
Thank you so much. Just a few questions about the assessor's position. I'm guessing that Leah Krogan, was she the person we hired earlier this year to help things out? And is she a town employee, or is she going to become a town employee on October 1st? Because we're giving her training in September, so I'm trying to figure out if she's already a town employee or not. And she probably is, because I don't listen as well as I should. But I was just curious on that, if the training is before the hire, or just kind of thing like that. But I imagine she's from the town colony. And other than that, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Leah is a town resident. She's already employed by the town as our acting assessor. And her appointment to the 6-year term will become effective on October 1st. Anyone else?
Mr. Kelly.
Good evening. At Kelly, 169 Burt Road. My first question is, does the board plan on meeting with existing solar farm developers? So it's been a little while. I know the board's busy there too, but your extent as far as being able to meet sometime soon, as far as with other projects going on in the town or out.
Do you have another question?
Actually, the other one is Sophie and Jake Howell. Is she? I don't have any idea.
She's like 18. I think she's like she might have been a senior this past year at high school.
Sure.
Do you know Jimmy?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Regarding the solar, I've actually been received almost a half a dozen requests from various developers, and I am meeting with them in September. I think I've reached out to me, Pat, and I said I'd be setting something up sometime in September. I'm meeting with those companies that have a local resident, a resident of the town involved as a priority versus somebody who just wants to shop.
Sure.
So I'll be meeting sometime in September.
Thank you.
Anyone else like to address the board? Yes, sir.
Wait a minute. Okay. In our effort to be proactive.
Oh, I meant to bring that up. Sorry.
Would you like to?
For the benefit of the press? Absolutely. So we've had much discussion on the Stortz fittings. And as the board recalls, we moved forward in addressing those inadequacies along Bluebird Road. And industrial part too, right? So those fittings did come in yesterday, and I believe that they were all installed by the close of business today.
Nice.
They were. So good job on the water department's and so thank you for that.
Good.
Anyone else? If not, we will move on to supervisor items. First item I have is Dave Meager stopped in my office today and wanted to let us know some good news with in regards to our protection that we have in place for ransomware. If the board recalls, we paid a little extra money to have insurance for ransomware. And NYMEER has increased the coverage from $50,000 to $250,000. So, in addition to that, you want to let us know that 40 municipalities have been subject to ransomware so far this year. So that was a good investment, I think, on our part, and I'm glad to hear that the amount has been increased. I had reached out due to reduced staffing as a result of town part-time employees going back to college for beach coverage for lifeguards. And as you know, it's a challenge every year as we wind up the season. And I had asked David Meager, who's I'm sure to look into the possibility, because we want to keep the beaches open, if we could post swim at your own risk if we ever find ourselves unable to staff a lifeguard chair or for off hours. And it took a couple of days for him to hear back from his people. I did hear back today, and his loss control representative was unenthusiastic about the idea, which is no surprise. So from our perspective, I'd like the board to think about how you would like to post that in the future. All the lakes in the Adirondacks don't have signs around them.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the ocean, the lifeguards are no longer on duty. It says lifeguard not on duty, swim at your own risk. It's something to think about. Council probably has a strong opinion on that, but I'm not asking them.
Have correspondence from the Saratoga County Economic Development Corporation. They have provided me with a major report on Advanced Saratoga Initiative, which includes a description of their efforts to promote, retain, and grow economic opportunities, not only in Saratoga County, but throughout the region. And they were happy to report that during their investors' meeting at the beginning of the year, they had indicated we had 35 potential projects on the radar for Saratoga County in 2019 with a potential of over $200 million in new investment. And as of right now, they have 38 potential projects in their scope, which could bring an additional $800 million in new investment to the region. So they provide the supervisors with an update on what they're working on. And so I want to provide that to the board members and to the public. I know, what's not here, is it? So Paul, I met with Paul last week regarding correspondence he had received from Navistar Max Force Engine Settlement that's out there. I had provided it to council for input, also provided copies to the board. Apparently there's a class action lawsuit that has reached a settlement. I think we have two Navistars in our fleet at the highway garage. And we fortunately have not had any problems with those engines, but we want to, you know, agree to a settlement of $2,500 per vehicle. We can do that, but obviously we would give up our rights for litigation. So I don't know what the board wants to do with that. He's looking for direction from the board. I haven't gotten a recommendation from the council. I don't know. Are you going to have Carlo?
I haven't seen it yet.
So my suggestion would be we have to file a claim by May 11th, 2022. So maybe she
Let us go back.
Perfect. And if the board has board members have any thoughts, then let me know that as well. And that is all I have for supervisor items. Under committee reports, I know the insurance committee met. I believe the committee has a recommendation for the full board on the JFA Connect program, if I'm not mistaken. So I know Gina's not here.
Right. So, yeah. So Gina and I met with Matt Shute and Elaine, and we're on video conference with Jessica. But basically, they went through this employee navigator program. It's a program, computer program, for employees primarily to follow their insurance information, but it's also there's drop down boxes for them to be able to access educational videos or information that we need to provide to our employees, such as our sexual harassment policy, such as our workforce violence policy, and it tracks their activity as far as being able to show that they actually had the opportunity to see it, that they saw it, and that they signed off on it. With this program, not only can they do this, but we can follow through and see that they've done it or not done it and follow up with them to make sure that they get it done. I thought it was a good record-keeping aspect. I thought it would probably alleviate some of our concerns about making sure that they got it done. And overall, I would, based upon what they told me, I would recommend going with this program. There were a couple things that we need to find out a little bit more on, and that is as far as if we go to electronic payroll, how it's going to work in this place. And then the other thing is the cost of it. The cost that they suggest or told us was a rate of $750 per year, but we wanted to implement this before the actual year started. Matt believes that he would be able to get us a 15-month contract for that same price of $750, but I'm still waiting to hear back on that.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. I think that it would be a worthwhile tool for us in our human resources aspect of what we do. So the board essentially has two options. We can provide authorization to move forward, subject to the cost for the annual rate being the same as for the 15-month. You can hold off on it, or you can do something else. So, the board have
one of the other components, if I may,
yes,
was, and you're going to confirm this, is they're going to be able to get us this full harassment training.
Right.
We're going to get that pretty tight timeline.
Yeah.
So my recommendation would be, if we use it for nothing other than that, that price is very affordable compared to other new options that are out there for that, that kind of training. So as Mike said, my recommendation would be to authorize it tonight based on confirming those questions.
Well,
we need to get it deployed in that way.
So I asked Matt about that, and they in fact said it would be from the time of contract signing, 2 to 3 days to get that up and ready for us to be able to use it.
Okay. All right. So
with that, a motion to approve signing a contract for the supervisor, signing a contract with Yeager and Flynn for the employee navigator, I took it to be that it was the employee navigator.
Yeah.
That's offered through Yeager and Flynn at a cost not to exceed $750 for a 15-month term.
Okay.
Effective as soon as you can sign a contract with them.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion?
No, it's for something for not to say. It's just related to the sexual harassment training, but it's not part of this, so it's okay.
Any other discussion?
No.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Does anyone else have?
So, yeah, it's a cemetery. One of the tractors is not operating properly. It was worked on last year. It's a John Deere, it's a riding lawnmower, and the issue is that it goes fine on flat ground, but as soon as they start to go up a hill, it doesn't proceed. Yeah, I don't know. My understanding was there was service last year through Falls Farm and Garden, and that they replaced belts and pulleys. Dave needs to get this thing diagnosed. Not sure what it is, where it is. Well, I mean, you know, and because of what the cost was last year, we were very hesitant to go to Falls Farm and Garden and bring it back to everybody to get an idea about where to go with it. I asked him to go over and talk to Emmerich and see if they might be able to give some input.
Okay.
Well, the only thing he can tell me is that it's a sealed transmission and that it really does need to be diagnosed. Where would you like me to take it?
I prefer to business in Saratoga County because of the business space.
Yeah, but it's a John Deere, and I don't think that he's going to be able to bring it over that way.
He's not going to be able to bring it?
I don't. Well, I'm not positive about that, but I'm not.
They work on it.
Do they work on it?
I mean, I know they sell a couple of dead errands and other. Not
a
job,
you
have
to
live with
kind of
business away. Because it's
green and
yellow.
Yeah, I'm not positive. But needless to say, he needs to get this thing looked at. There's a couple of cemeteries that they use it for because the mower is smaller and fits between the stones.
Right. Has he reached out for balls and garden? Balls on the garden?
That I don't know for sure.
I'd like to know before it goes in.
I'm just bringing this up because this is something that he needs to, I thought he was going to be here tonight.
Okay.
But I'm bringing it to you guys' attention so that you know that you asked for it. Emmerich
is listed as that they do repairs on John Deere, at least on the website.
Yeah, okay.
The problem we have with false farming garden is it's kind of a vicious cycle, right? The only way they're going to diagnose it is to take it all apart, and then we got a bill already run up. So whether we get repaired or not, we still end up owing quite a bit of money, at least in the past experiences we've had. And that tractor which you bought, I think we put a significant amount of money in that tractor last year.
Unless it's a similar problem that that was fixed from Paul's time.
Yeah, I just have to pull the record real quick, but I would rather see us go to Emmerich if they would serve us.
Right.
It's local.
Okay.
Good.
I kind of made that recommendation. the next thing. Transfer station. And the brush that's down there.
Yes.
And my recommendation that we use our own chipper and get this done. Ted says it's overwhelming at this point because of the amount of brush. And then he basically said, we thought the other day that they could really do it would be on Wednesdays,
yes,
when the transfer station was closed.
Yes.
And I, okay, so we'll do it on Wednesdays when the transfer station is closed.
That's what I said.
And he talked about the size of the pile of brush and well, chip away at it. But if you want to go out and get a price for what somebody else is going to do it for, by all means, but I think that you can utilize your own people to get this job done.
Yeah.
On that off day.
Yeah, and I had talked with them and told them, you know, the board members' wishes. And, he had said, you know, why we had gotten away from it because, you know, we had secured a chipper just for that purpose through a grant years ago, brand new. And, under a previous administration, they started scaling back the hours of operation at transfer station. Now, obviously, we have turned that around to make sure that we're back up to full service. But that aspect was not addressed. So I believe working on Wednesdays when the public's not there is a perfect opportunity to have two people. We need two people to do it.
That's what he got said. And then he needs to work out the schedule with these people,
exactly,
so that they can get there.
So, you know, and in the meantime, he can get us a cost to do the whole pile, but they can keep working on Wednesday. That's my feeling on it.
Okay. But that was kind of what my thought was.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's been articulated. Is there pushback on that?
Only that, you know, he was kind of trying to give his spiel on why it wasn't going to work, and it was like, you know, you got brush there, you got two, you know.
I thought it was already happening, but I'm
I don't believe so. I think the chipper's still down to that.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
If not, I will need an executive session to receive an update from counsel on sprinkler litigation.
Let's move to the next session.
Double your own notes.
Motion to go to the next session.
Second, yeah.
All right.
All in favor?
All right.
Anyone opposed?
No.
Or all set?
Ready?
All right. Need a motion to come out of executive session, and, which will indicate that we have taken no action in executive session.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Any opposed? Motion carries. Any other business for open session?
If not,
motion to adjourn.
Second, sir. So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Who, I don't even know who made a second to that motion. I'm sorry. Thank you.
I did.
Okay.
I did.